Today we talk to Maisie from Malaysia about scuba diving in Sweden, learning the language, and we take a deep dive into some Swedish word meanings. Welcome to Life in the Land of the Ice and Snow. Hey, Monica, how's it going?
Good, Heather. How's it going with you?
Pretty good. Am I mistaken, or did I see that you have been in the forest jumping into lakes this week?
I mean, I'm really doubling down on this adventure environmental, well, not environmental, but the forest
the nature thing, vacation.
The nature thing, naturecation. Yeah, it was awesome. It was also like super crazy, but it was awesome.
So where were you? Were you near the Stockholm area?
Yeah, it's in Nacka Reservat. Okay, so it's, I'm going to really screw up the name, Sandahun. I don't know ever. It's, you know, those J's and the O's are really hard. But it's a lake in Nacka Reservat, and they have a sauna there that this lady, this is the one I think I told you about, the Tunbrudsrulle food truck in Nacka Reservat. No? Okay. Do you know where Adventuresbanan is, where they have the Hogbanan that you can do, like the zip lines and the climbing?
Is that back like in Alta?
Yeah. It's just south of
Hellesgård. I haven't been, but I've seen this on a
You've probably,
on a map.
Yeah, you've seen it. So anyway, yeah. So they have the Adventuresbanan. Then they've got some like camping, glamping kind of tents that you can stay in. They have the sauna that's on the other side of the lake. And this lady who runs the food truck that's near the Adventuresbanan, which I highly recommend because she does gourmet Tunbrudsrulle, she does on every Friday for the month of March and April these sauna sessions. So you go and you sauna and you can jump in the lake if you want to. And then she cooks food on an open fire. And that's like kind of her thing. It's like she teaches people how to cook in the wilderness, you know, going, you know, orienteering, scavenging, like all of that stuff. It's awesome.
Wow. Good tip. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can rent this sauna. I think to rent it for 3 hours is 2,500 crowns, but you can get like 10 people in there. So you could like do a sauna thing. And you track over there, and I think it's like a 20 to, well, it takes me 30 minutes because, Jesus Christ, you got to go up and down rocks, and there's like those stupid little, I don't even know what they're like, planks with boards across, and you're holding onto a rope on the side so you don't fall in the water. I mean, it's like, it's mentally exhausting for me to get there.
Okay. Yeah, you're really doing this whole nature
thing. I am.
Well, that leads us into our guest today, and I'm going to ask our guest, Maisie, who is originally from Malaysia. Let's jump on the same subject here. Have you done the sauna and jumping in a lake thing in Sweden?
Yeah, that's totally my thing.
I don't know if you're sarcastic or not.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. That is definitely my thing. I was brought up in an island in Malaysia, and I was always surrounded by water. But when I came here, I know I'm like, there's no other choice. It's either I'm going to hate it or I'm going to dive into it. So in the beginning, I was hesitating to do it, but it helped with the whole sauna thing. So I did the sauna and the ice bath, but eventually I kind of just jumped in once in a while, but not anything lower than 5 degrees though. I haven't done that one yet.
Okay, Holy moly. 5 degrees in the water or 5 degrees like outside?
5 degrees in the water.
Okay.
Maximum maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes I can be in there.
You are so much braver than I am. I've been here for so long, I still don't dare to do it. I still haven't done the whole sauna and lake experience.
Not at all?
No, like, I haven't.
That is... You have to do it.
But okay, Maisie, so where have you been to do this? Where do you have like certain places you go for this? Is it around Stockholm? Has this been like all around Sweden?
Well, my fiance has a summer house in Gräsö. So we've done it there. And we also live in front of Mälaren. We just have to take the staircase down. 3 minutes, we're already at the lake and we can do it here too. But if you want to do the whole bus to sauna and ice bath combination, there's one in Sätra and there's also one in Vinterviken.
Okay, yeah, but I haven't seen the sauna that's there, but that makes sense that they would have one.
But the one at Sätra is pretty good because you only pay like 8 crowns each time, but there's specific times that you can go in. It's not open 24 hours and you have to look at their website. Sometimes it's open in a particular time. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's on a particular date. But the one in Winterviken is pretty cool. It's a nice setting, nice bus too. But the problem is really expensive. You pay around 300 and close to 400 crowns a month to have like a full-on membership. So you can go whenever you want, how many times you want. But each time you go, you still have to pay a certain amount. So I think they want to do it that way because they want to keep it exclusive. I don't know.
But Winterviken is really nice for anybody who doesn't know. What would be the closest subway stop that you would go
to? It's Ospudden, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could go there.
A closest would be Ånsberg.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But it's also, I find that place very interesting because it's also Alfred Nobel's old, I don't know if you'd call it a workshop, but it's where he used to test dynamite. So you can still see the little caves and things where he used to test. And they have a nice cafe there.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think that's a fun tip, actually, for people in Stockholm.
And I just recently found out as well that building that you can eat, I think you can, that's where the cafe is. It's been a while since I've been there, but I think that's also the building they record the Swedish Master Chef in, because what's that chef's name with the curly black hair? Marcus something, I think it is.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, the Master Chef. So they record there as well.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either. I found that out recently.
Okay, so we'll go off saunas now and we'll back up a bit. Maisie, you came from Malaysia and you moved to Sweden. So I would like to know how long you've been here and why on earth did you move from a beautiful island like Malaysia and come up to very cold Sweden?
So I've been here for 2.5 years. I met my fiancé 10.5 years ago. So it did take me time to decide to come and move here. So even he didn't want to be here. He was like, you know what, y'all, we'll stay here as long as we can. And we lived together on the island and I own a diving school there and he worked in his own cafe. So we lived that island life. But as COVID hit, the borders was closed. So within a week, there was no tourists. There was no money coming in. It was absolutely deserted and we had just no income whatsoever. And nobody knew. There was so much uncertainty in that time also. Like, it's going to be forever. Is this doomsday, y'all? So he went back home first. After 6 months of COVID, he went back home. He's like, okay, I'm just going to go home and figure it out. Because he called his parents and they said that it's like completely open here. Everyone's living their life as they should. So he went back home. And then we had a long discussion and I lived on that island for 17 years. And at that time, like already in the last 3 years, I already felt like I don't think I need something else. I was already searching for something else. I was hungry for a new experience. So it was an easy decision. So COVID came. There was no business anymore. I kind of closed down the shop and sold it eventually. But it took me time to get the visa to come here because Malaysia's border was closed. And the only place I could do my visa application was in Thailand. So I had to wait for Thailand to open their borders, go for a 2 weeks quarantine, go for the interview. And then that uncertainty also, because the interviewer was like, she was like, oh yeah, you might get your visa, you might not. But if you do get it, it's going to be between 1 month to a year. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, what am I going to do here? I can't go.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, but I had enough money to be in. And I was in Thailand and I had a bunch of friends. I also knew a few people who had diving schools. So I thought like, it's okay. You know what? I'll just go and work for them or just figure things out. But I got my visa after a year. But the whole process took me a year and a half to get to Sweden. So I'm here for him. Because I love him so much.
You can overlook the horrible weather.
Yeah,
we all do.
Yeah. But he totally owes you now.
In a way, he doesn't. Because he sacrificed 8 years of his life to be on that island. Yeah, and because he had to do that because I had the business. And he knew that I wanted to grow it and I was so invested in it and he gave me that time. So I feel like I'm now giving him back that favor. So So it's okay. I'm all right, guys. Thanks for asking.
All right. We're just checking up. But wow. Okay. So you have to make this big move to Sweden, and you've been running this scuba diving school, which I'm guessing it wasn't something you could just pick up here in Sweden. Though I have heard from Monica, actually, that there is diving in the west coast of Sweden.
Yeah, I have all sorts, so many questions for you, Maisie. But have you been diving yet in Sweden?
No, I have not. We actually have a cousin, who John's cousin, my fiance's cousin. He is a diver and he's a tech diver. But instead of bringing out people recreationally, like just fun dives, he actually does welding underwater. So he helps people find things underwater, fixes bridges underwater. And he's been trying to invite us. He's like, oh, there's this wreck, there's this thing, there's this thing. But the thing is, I do not have the dry suit qualification. So I'll need to have to do that first before I could start diving in Sweden.
Yeah.
Which I will eventually.
Yeah. It's a hard transition because when I moved here, I still have refused to get any dry suit certification because I'm like, if it's too cold and I have to wear a dry suit, then I'm not going to go dive. So I do like the thickest wetsuit possible plus like a shorty on top of that.
Oh my.
And then I've learned the technique because they call it cocktail diving, what I've done, which is in the Caribbean. But you'd put like hot water into your wetsuit before you put it on and a little bit of soap at the bottom so it slides on. I mean, when you're like doing warm water diving, you don't have to think about these things.
Wow.
It's so crazy. But it's really, there's also like, and we can take this, of course, offline, but there's a bunch of volunteer groups as well that do diving like in Mälaren because there's so much stuff down there. So I think like once a year they organize divers to go down there and like gather things, you know, like grocery carts and electric bikes and scooters and sometimes guns.
Wow.
And like just all this random stuff people throw into the water in Stockholm. So it's really interesting.
That is.
But the visibility, I think, is limited.
Zero to nothing.
Yeah.
But how many, what mil is the thickness of your wetsuit? You said really thick. Is it 5, 7?
I can't. I think it's 7. I've only dove a few times down on the west coast, which is the best diving in Sweden.
Okay.
And I can give you, it's DK Leif is the name of the dive operation down there. And they run into, they call it the Weather Islands, I think, is the English translations. Väderöarna. There we go. Another butchering of Swedish. But it is beautiful. I mean, it's as beautiful as it's going to get. And it's much clearer down there because there's like seals and, of course, all the vegetation.
All right.
I think Stockholm is, yeah, and the East Coast is a little bit murkier. So, but definitely, I'll send it over to you when we're done. And it's really beautiful. And they're so nice. They run this whole operation out of their home. And they have 2 to 3 boats, and they're just like really nice people. It's a husband and wife that run it. It's a fully service catering, and they do Thai food because they lived in Thailand for a while. So you always get that. They always moor somewhere for lunch, and you have lunch, and then you do your afternoon dive. It's fantastic. It's really nice. If the weather's good.
But it sounds like a place to dive. It sounds like a place that you want to dive with.
Yeah.
Because it's so homey. Because at the end of the day, like when you're in like Asia, it's just a lump sum of people. And it's almost like, I don't know, it's too much people. It's lost its personality, I think, in some places.
Yeah.
It's nice when you dive with people and it's kind of homey, like a homestay.
But you're right, Maisie, because I think that's the thing is like there's those huge dive operations where you're just a number and they're literally just counting, okay, have 25 divers gotten back on the boat? And these, they like actually know your name and you feel good. And
wow.
I mean, Anders, who runs it, I mean, he's so experienced and he points, it's just really nice. It's a really nice dive operation. And I've always done small, like I lived in Cayman, so I always knew, you knew always the dive masters there. So you could go in the afternoons and dive with them. And it was really cool. So we should try to figure something out together.
Awesome. Thanks for the tip.
Watch out. Monica's going to rope you into all these new nature things she's doing with swimming and saunas and diving.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Maisie's already into it, Heather. I'm going to give her the camping tip as well later.
She can take my
Catch
place.
Catch up, Heather.
I know. I'm so weak. I think, let's see, I've been here over 20 years and... Oh, how many times have I actually been swimming in a Swedish lake? 10 times, maybe. I mean to. You know what I have to do is I have to ride my bike. If it's summertime, I have to ride my bike, get really sweaty to whatever lake I'm going to get to. And then I have to go immediately into the water. But if I give myself 5 minutes just to like lock the bike and set out a blanket or something, nope, then I'm not hot enough and the water's way too cold.
I'm totally imagining you like, and you're like dumping the bike and you're like running, ripping your clothes off as you're running into the water.
And then last minute, nope.
Yeah. But I have the Evil Wicked Witch theme song while I'm riding my bike. Love it. Thank you.
Oh, that's so good. I'd forgotten what that was. You're right. I thought it was clowns. Nope. Yeah.
Okay, so Maisie, a year to get your visa. I know that so many people are waiting really long. I think I was lucky, but I got in quite a while ago, and I want to say it was maybe 5 months, six tops to get it. But I know that the waiting times are crazy right now. I mean, how did you deal? I'm guessing he was your boyfriend at the time or husband. Was he able to come and see you during this time? Because I know you probably weren't able to go into Sweden.
No, he wasn't allowed to come to Malaysia because of the whole...
it was still pandemic.
Right? Yeah, borders were closed. And if you didn't have like a medical concern or you didn't, if you're not married to someone, you're not allowed to come into to the country. So we were basically away from each other for a year and a half.
Mm, that is really rough. Did you just have to rely a lot on video talk and how did you keep things up during
the
time?
I mean, we've done long distance before, so we felt like we've done this and we knew what was required of us to keep in contact. A lot of video calls, a lot of updatings constantly, but it was fun because I missed him and I felt like it was not a hard thing to do, and we did that for each other. And he wasn't working, so I was basically in all of his journey, and the thought of like I'm coming to Sweden, so I didn't feel like, oh, am I going to see him again? Or it's like, how long more? And I just knew it's going to take time, but I knew that I was going to see him eventually. But if it wasn't for the pandemic, I think I would have gotten my visa earlier. Mm. But it's the whole border closed. I have to go to another country, do the interview. But the whole process from the interview to the visa only took a month. So I was grateful about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, at least. Can I ask, because it's usually a little funny sometimes, do you remember any of the questions that they asked you? Because I know for me and probably for Monica, we had to prove that we actually had a relationship with somebody to get our visa. So they would ask, well, what subway stop does he live at? And they would ask these weird questions. Do you remember having to answer anything that was kind of strange like that?
Not really, because he had to apply for the visa application first. In the application, he had to write down a timeline of when we met, what did we do, send in pictures, explain where we were. And I met his parents. I met his parents two or three times before. And I actually came to Sweden twice before wanting to move here. So we had all of that already prepared. So, but we had to like talk about it. And I wrote everything down, made sure I had the dates correct. So basically during the interview, she asked me a lot about like, so which month did you meet his parents and what were you guys doing at that time? So just to prove like his information is streamlined to my information. Did I get any weird ones?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't feel like anything was weird. It was really good. It was an hour and a half. She basically asked me everything. Like whatever like he wrote down in his application, she asked me elaborate more about it. Like, how many people was there? What were you guys doing? And like in the picture, can you remember what were you guys doing? So a lot of details I had to remember, but nothing weird.
Okay, but that's
I would say that kind of
so
sounds
difficult.
Weird. That still sounds weird. Like, do you remember what this event was about? Do you remember what you ate?
I mean,
why
were
you gathered around this tree?
Yeah, the last time I was at a gathering with people, if you asked me like how many people were there, what did you eat? I'd really have to think hard, and I'd probably forget half of it. You could ask me that from a week ago, and I would forget half of it.
Yeah, Me too.
You see, ladies, I was prepared, okay? I had all the pictures. And I was looking through them, making notes and everything I was doing. What kind of t-shirt I had.
That's hilarious.
That's the smart way to do it. So when you got to Sweden, how was it? I'm assuming you found a job eventually, but I know that was very hard for me. It took me quite a while to find work. And I feel like this is very much, at least in Stockholm, you kind of have to know people to get in places. Otherwise, it's difficult. Or you start out in a totally different branch that you've never worked in before. So I was just wondering how that worked out for you.
It's been tough. I must say, it's still tough. I'm not working full-time yet because I haven't haven't got employed. I've been sending in applications almost like 2-3 times a week and still nothing. But I'm studying currently. I've been studying ever since I got here. So after 3 months of arriving Sweden, I got taken in for SFE. So I did the whole SFE. I did the whole grundläggande for Svenska. And then I went to gymnasium for Svenska also. So I did all of that. And now I am just getting up with my grades and hopefully with that and having, I guess why I'm doing this is because I'm trying to be as fluent as possible in Swedish, but it is taking time. It's something that it's as a muscle, you know, I need to constantly work for it and it's taken time. And even with that, I still haven't landed the job that I want. I am working part-time as a yoga instructor. That happened, I just sent in my application and then I got interviewed and I got the job. I kind of vibed with the owner and she was really happy with me. And even not being able to speak in Swedish, not having like a work experience as a yoga instructor in Sweden, she was happy with me. So I work full-time then, but then I decided that I want to put my time into learning and getting a better paying job. Because as a yoga teacher, it is good, but it's also tiring mentally and physically. It's not easy to come in and like teach yoga. Like you have bad days too, you know? And then when you're having a bad day and you're like supposed to give like your heart. Yeah. And I have a hard time separating like the job and yoga. Like for me, it's like yoga is me. It's like my passion. So I decided, okay, focus on one thing, get the language right, get the right qualification and do this part time. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
That's a really good plan. And I mean, you've only been here 2.5 years. Just so you feel better, it took me 5 years until I could understand people. And my Swedish is still not perfect. So I always end up working in international places, which is not such a good thing, but that's how it's been. But it's a hard process. It's not like Swedish is generally a language that you hear. Like, I don't know how it is for you, but the only other languages I ever heard in the U.S. were Spanish, French, and maybe some German. And you don't really encounter many other languages. It's certainly not Swedish or any kind of Scandinavian language. So I'd never even heard the language until I moved here. And I think that makes it a lot more difficult to kind of grasp how things are pronounced, the tone of people. It's a bit musical in a weird way, I think, how they talk. But what has your experience been just learning, going to SFE and these other classes? Has it been a good experience? Did you have any standout teachers or other students, or did you have a bad experience? Because some people have.
Yeah, totally. Yes, just being amongst with my other friends also, when we speak about how our SFE experience, I think I had a good one. Like my teachers were good and they invested the time. They gave us everything that we need to do. But at the end of the day, like learning a language is not really the teacher's job to like, they can only tell us like how the sentence look like, but it's your job to like read the books and like practice speaking the words. So I had a good experience because I felt like the teacher was someone that I could always go to and ask questions, and they would like not answer like with a sentence. They would sit down and like help me understand until like truly understand. And when I say like, okay, I understand, and then they ask me back, what is it that you understood? So that to just double check if, you know, like, does this girl know what she's talking about?
That's good.
So simple. Like, that's the like most simple question to ask. And yet that's such an important thing, like in any kind of learning. Like, I just thinking about like children and, you know, employees and learning students. Like, now, okay, tell me, what did I just say? That's like active listening. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was. And it helped me a lot. And he also like recommended TV shows and podcasts to us and say like, guys, if you really want to be part of like the society, it's not just coming to SFE and like understanding like how the grammar works. It's also being a Swede, like listening to Swedish podcasts, reading like the Swedish authors, and like watching the Swedish movies, you know, just to get a feel about what the Swedish lifestyle is all about. So that advice really struck me, because I was like, yeah, that's right. Like, I gotta be part of this society. I gotta feel it.
So what's your favorite show that you've watched in Swedish? I know mine.
Well, there's a few. Favorite? Oh, that's a tricky one. Well, I've only started watching Bonus Family. I watch all 5 episodes and the movie on Netflix. There's Slekten på Sommaren, I think so. And there's Solsidan also. Yeah. A few movies, but I can't. There's a movie on Netflix called Something About Cornelius, like the singer.
I've heard of that. Something with a W.
Yeah, Something with a W. Well, there's Snabba Cash too.
Snabba Cash is mine.
Ah, okay.
The first season especially. Oh, I loved that. I thought it was great. I thought it was really well done.
I actually read that book in Swedish. I think one of my teachers assigned that book, actually. I'm sure I missed like 10, 20% of what they were trying to say. But I don't know if that's the best book to read for getting a grasp of Swedish society.
Or is it?
Yeah, I guess you got to know the good and the bad.
Because I remember when I was watching the series, I looked at my sambo. I was like, is this like real? He's like, yeah. I'm like, really? Have I been that oblivious living in my little so sweet and so safe bubble? Which I still think, relatively speaking, it is. But it was, yeah, it was a bit of a wake up call. But it was really well done.
Okay, so you raise an excellent point that it's not just learning the language, it's also learning the lifestyle, learning the culture and everything. But can you remember what were some of the things that you learned about Swedish culture or lifestyle that you found either great, interesting, or very weird?
Well, I like the fact that like being raised in Malaysia, you're always being defined by your race and your religion. I like that when I came here to Sweden, that I was just a human being. And I thought that was like, yeah, this is how I want to be seen. And in Malaysia, when you have to sign papers, like official documents, they would ask you for your race and your religion. And you're like, what is this got to do with what I'm asking? But here, that's no significant to that. So I thought that for me coming here and seeing like, oh, wow, they're so full of democracy here. I love that part. Okay, so what I thought was weird, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when you're at like Yes, like that place where you buy furniture, like they have like so many 2 counters, but like, do you guys notice that instead of like queuing in each counter, in Sweden, they make 1 queue. And you're like, what on earth is going on? There's 2 counters. And like everyone is just, I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Swedes love to queue.
But you know what? I think it goes back to the US has started doing that too, where they'll have multiple counters and then you have one line zigzagging. Like the bookstores tend to do it. Ulta did it, I realized the other day. But you know what I think it is, Maisie? I think it's a little bit goes to the zipper mentality. Like when you're driving, the idea is you let every other car comes in to each other. So it's like they call it the zipper. And I think they probably do the same thing now at the grocery stores, because I've noticed that now too. Everybody stands in one line, and then as they opens up, it's like it's totally equal. Nobody gets ahead. Whoever's standing, like, I love it. I think it's hilarious. But not everybody does it, though. That's the thing. Like, suddenly somebody creates a second line out of nowhere, and then chaos ensues.
Yeah, and Swedes don't like conflict very much, so nobody wants to speak up and go, hey, the rest of us are waiting here in line. It usually takes like one of us to yell at them. But
oh my god, that happened yesterday. I was at the grocery store and this little lady was coming up and she had like 2 items, and the women in front of her, it was all women, so I could say, there were 2 women in front of her who had big carts of stuff, and she asked them, if she could just like go quickly through. She just had like one item. And I don't think they actually answered her at all. They just both kind of looked at her like, what do you mean? And then just kept pushing their stuff forward and like crowding her out. It was super weird.
I love that.
That's awful.
I was like, and of course, you know, now I'm Swedish, so I just went further away. I was like, I'll just go to that line way over there and not deal with that either.
The little ways you become more Swedish every day. I'm not getting into this.
I'm not getting into that. That looks no good.
Definitely. I've noticed the zipper thing with the bus as well. Like when you're getting on the bus, because sometimes I get on at Gomersplan and you've got people who are waiting in the little covered part, but then people who come a little late, they'll just start waiting outside towards the right. And it becomes the zipper, like left side, yeah. Right side, left side. That's kind of nice.
Okay, but thank you for clarifying that, because I thought it was just weird. I'm like, why are people not standing behind the counter? Wouldn't that make sense? Like you would do that like in Lidl or like Ica or something else, but you wouldn't do that when there's no like specific, when the counters are not closed up. So I just thought that was weird.
Yeah.
But there was one more thing that I think is really weird. Have you guys heard about the Yante law?
Yes. Yeah. That we should explain that.
Yeah.
Yante law is where everybody's supposed to be like, it's the same.
Right. Equal. Everybody's kind of even. You're not supposed to brag if you have a lot of money or a fancy place. It's like they're pretending that there isn't a class system or something.
Everybody used to have the same car. Everybody drove a Saab or a Volkswagen or no, sorry, Volvo. Volvo or Saabs, which was so funny because when we moved here coming from Texas, both of us were like, Saab and Volvos are like super nice cars, but everybody had them because that was part of the Yante Lagen. You didn't stand out.
That's right. And it actually says in the, I first heard about it like many years ago before moving here, and a friend told me about it. It basically says like, don't think you can teach us anything. Don't think anyone cares about you. Don't think you can do more than us. It's just, it's all of this that sounds, it doesn't sound like something that I understand. So I made some research and I'm like, what on earth is wrong with this guy? Like, is he depressed? Is this written by a depressed person? Like, how can you not think that you're special? You are special, for crying out loud. So then I did some research and I have it here. So it's written by a guy, the author is called Axel Sademose, and he wrote this out of spite, because in his hometown, Nyköping, like he used to feel that people were judging him because he was smart and he was gifted and he was a good writer. He understood words more than him, and people made him feel like it was wrong to have all of that qualities. So he wrote this out of spite, and a lot of people took on this law thinking that, oh yeah, this is who we are. We are like, we're supposed to be equal. Nobody's more than the other and this and that. But actually, it got lost, guys. The message got lost on the way.
That is awesome. I love this story. This is fantastic.
I never knew all this.
Me neither. I love Maisie. Way to go. Break that down.
That is so interesting. I've always thought it was the weirdest thing. For me, it's so strange if you're trying to interview for a job. I've been so confused over, am I supposed to talk myself up? I mean, I've been raised that I'm supposed to go to a job interview and tell them that I am the best person for this job. What I do is better than other people and my skills are so great. But how does that work in Sweden? You're not supposed to brag about yourself. So how do you sell yourself in a job interview? That has always been confusing to me, to kind of walk that line of not being too full of myself, but still showing that I can do the job.
Yeah, totally.
I can give you a hint. This is what I recommend as the HR person here.
Yes.
Is that instead of like, because it does come across a little crass if you're like, yeah, well, I'm totally the best at this and everybody else literally isn't, like, sucks at this. But what I've started to do, even myself personally, because I've been working for a while now, is I say, in my experience, or I have come to believe, or whatever, like you just kind of put it on you, but in a little bit more like, I mean, this is the way I've been doing it. And it seems to be working for me because these experiences are repetitive and therefore they are true, at least from my point of view, like that kind of thing. So then you don't feel cocky and like,
thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But you can come across like, I know my shit.
And screw the Yante law.
So that is really, like I said, that's, I think that's so cool. And I also remember like when, I can't remember, Heather, if you remember, but maybe it was like 10 years ago, the cars was what threw me off the most when I moved here in 2006. I was like, again, this Yante law, and yet everybody's driving Saabs and Volvos. I'm like, how can this country be a socialist country and everybody's driving these amazing cars? But then things started to change and you started seeing more BMWs and more Mercedes. And then when the Tesla thing hit, I was like, oh, that's just gone to hell. Like, ain't nobody hiding behind that veil anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Because come on, we all know what the fancy neighborhoods are. You can't get away from being a little judgy. At least people are more polite here and maybe keep their mouth shut about it, which is all we can hope for.
And don't ask for your religion when you sign important documents.
Yes, exactly.
Thank God. Oh my gosh.
Also, I got one more thing to tell you guys that I thought about that was a bit weird. So the word lagom, if, do you guys know? Obviously, I've heard your podcast before. I know that you guys know what that means.
Yes.
But should you?
Yes, we should.
So basically what lagom means that it's like not, and it's just right. Not too much, not too little. It's just perfect. It's got a good balance to it. But actually, the word lagom way back then actually meant, so log meaning law, but lagom was the plural form of law. So in the 17th century, lagom actually means one that does not break the law or one that was legal. But yeah, that also changed along the line.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it actually didn't mean the same thing as it did way back then.
That's so cool.
That's interesting. But did you find out like how this changed?
So when you guys go to Svenska in gymnasium, so the high school, when you learn Swedish in high school, they have a textbook. And in that textbook, one of the topics were a typical Swedish, so typical Swedish life or typical Swedish people. So in this book, it comes from the government and it gives us a lot of history on like the word lagom, jantelo, all of this stuff. So this is where I'm getting all the information from.
Wow, I missed out on that.
I don't think either one of us went to the gymnasium Swedish, though.
That's probably what I did go to the whatever was after SFE, like
SAS.
You do SAS, that's what it was. But I only made it through 6 months of that, and then I ended up getting a job, so I didn't complete that. Maybe if I had, I would have learned more.
You would have learned this. You would have learned this. But I love the history of languages. I think it's so cool because languages are always changing and like the sounds are changing and of course influences. And now, my gosh, it's so cool. That's so cool. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, thank you. You've educated us today.
No worries.
It's going to be a two-part podcast because we need to get this info out.
Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I wanted to know, do you maybe happen to have any, I mean, I think we've gotten a couple of tips, but is there anything, if you've been around Sweden a little bit or even something in Stockholm, something like a place you enjoy, somewhere that you think people should check out that maybe a lot of people don't know about, whether it's even a restaurant or just a cool place to walk or hike or anything?
Yes, there is a cafe close by where I live. It's called Liran. It is quite famous. It's on the net, but it's called Liran Cafe, and it's in a small castle. And long time ago, this place was a party place where all the sailors would stop by and have a party there. But now they transform it into a cafe. It's called Liran Cafe. It's quite close by to me.
I have no idea where you are, though.
Oh, Mellerheden. So close by to Vinterviken. Lyran.
Okay. I haven't heard of this place. Now I have to go check it out. Which castle is it by?
It's not a castle. I think I'm using the right word. But it's an old building. It's really pretty. Check it out.
Okay. That sounds really nice. I'm always looking for new places. I feel like I just keep going to the same things over and over. So I need to expand the neighborhoods I go to and the different kind of places I visit. Oh, I should ask, since you brought up a cafe and restaurant, are there any Swedish dishes that you've come to enjoy or come to completely hate?
I love the räksmörgås. I think in a way, back in Malaysia, I eat a lot of seafood and... here, it's not the same thing. Uh-huh. You can't get someone to go and cook for you for like 50 crowns. Everything is so expensive here when it comes to like prawns, and everything is frozen. You can't get the fresh one, but it's really expensive. So I like this direct smorgas to just basically help me curve that taste, that seafood taste.
Yeah, that you're missing a little bit. It's not nowhere near the same, I'm sure, but at least it's a little something. Are there any places with Malaysian food around Stockholm? There used to be a restaurant, but I don't think it's been open for a long time.
No, I haven't heard. I know there's this lady that sells some Malaysian food online on Facebook. So you basically can write to her and say like, you want some rendang, and she sends it to you. I haven't tried it, but I saw her reviews and it sounds good.
Oh no, this reminds me of the Diego tamale swap in the subway station.
yeah, this isn't the first time. So we have a theory now that every group that comes in of immigrants, we all have like this underground network of where to get our food. Our friend Diego had this same experience with getting tamales because he was from Mexico. And it was like, you know, he's like, oh yeah, everybody from Mexico knows about this and where to get the tamales. And here's how much you have to pay. And it's an exchange like this. So it's good to know there's a little Malaysian network out there too. This is the new thing I'm going to ask people. What's your underground network for getting food?
Right.
Monica and I are still working on Tex-Mex. Maybe we need to make our own Tex-Mex underground.
I've given up. I've relinquished. I will eat pretty much everywhere except for, what is that place? Oh God, I
Taco
just blanked
bar.
Out.
Oh my God.
Yes. No.
Yeah,
I can't. I can't do that.
No, we cannot endorse Taco Bar. I'm sorry.
and damn it, they were about to sponsor us.
Oh, they totally were. You know it.
I have a tip. First off, I have two tips besides my sauna tip. Are you following Stockholm Food Gyms on Instagram?
No.
Oh, no.
Look that one up. I've only seen a couple posts, but they seem to be like really into the foodie scene around here, which is great. And I first saw them come into my feed because they were talking about a Japanese fika, the cafe. And it's Cafe Koya on Gastrikegatan 3, and it's near St. Eriksplan subway station. And it looks amazing. They have like this like 100-layer cake, but it's like with matcha and
Wow, that sounds good.
I've been dying to try Japanese fika, doesn't it?
Yeah, thank you. That was a good one. I don't have any this week. I've got to
get
on that.
I gave two, so you can have one of mine.
Thank you. I'll totally take that.
Yeah.
Not the sauna one. Nobody would believe me.
No.
Well, thank you so much, Maisie, for talking to us. It's been so much fun. And I know that I think you and Monica will probably exchange. I'll connect you guys to exchange scuba information.
Yes.
Do that. Sounds legit.
For sure. So thanks so much. And I hope you enjoy our spring weather that they claim is coming now. But thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Nice to meet you, Maisie.
Have a good rest of your weekend.
Likewise, y'all.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me.